Shalom Aleichem, Mishpachas, Todd and Tamara here with Paradigm Shift. We're going to be continuing our remix of the Hagman & Hagman show that was done with Dot Marquee. And if you haven't listened to the first show, you should. This is the second in a three, hopefully not a four-part series. But the information is so valuable, we couldn't have covered it any better, so I remixed it and reordered it to give you a good ideological and historic timeline of the events that are occurring and have occurred and are happening today and without explanation. So without further ado, the reason why we're doing this is so that you understand that the calendar that you go by is the God that you worship. And the Gregorian calendar has its name. It's not Yah's calendar. It's not the calendar of the God of the Bible, the father, the forefather the God of our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So without further ado, here's Dr. Marquee, and he's going to start again off with talking about Sharon Tate in more detail. And at the end of this, I will have the complete broadcast without any interruptions on Podomatic, and you can go to Podomatic and search Paradigm Shift and find the entire interview that I remixed and recut. It took 6 hours to do. So please take a listen, and please continue to listen through all the series.
That's a short abbreviation there. But anyways, she wanted to get out. The Illuminati made sure she would be set up as an example. Look at the way her body was left. It was left in the exact position as the 18th major arcana card in the tarot deck, known as the Hangman. And if you check into the background of Charles Manson, he was a member of one of the front religious groups of the Illuminati, and that group was the Process Church of the Final Judgment. Remember that old group?
I'm
not sure if you can find it online because it's so old, but they were called the Process Church or the Process Church of the Final Judgment. The guy, I can't remember the name of it, but the Illuminati set him up as a messianic figure. And Charles Manson was one of his followers. And it was through that guy that Manson was recruited into the Illuminati. That's all it was another recruiting ground. Just like, DeMolay. You know, the DeMolay order of the Masons? That's a recruiting ground for the young people. If you want people, if you're looking for people, let's say, if they have a globalist mentality, well, now we're looking at places like Harvard, Yale, you know, specifically, you know, the Skull and Bones, Skull and Keys, or let's see, in England, that would be like if you're going to become a Rhodes Scholar, you're not going to get into that unless you have that globalist mentality. These places are all recruiting grounds. They're looking for specific things, and if they can mold the person towards their way, and then they'll be initiated.
Is Hillary Clinton a witch? That's his
question. Well, actually, she's a fourth level Illuminist. Bill is a third level. Yeah, you see, this is where the confusion came in when there were the co-presidents, as I call them. You see, problem was people couldn't tell who was in charge because at sometimes it looked like Bill was, and then at sometimes it actually looked like Hillary was. Well, what people didn't know was both of them are in the Illuminati. He's a third level. She's a fourth leveler. Now, when orders are coming down from the federal government, well, he's the president. She had to take orders from him. However, if orders were coming down from the Council of 13, she's a fourth level Illuminist. He had to take orders from her.
Ah, wow. So it's a trade-off thing.
In that case, yes, because both in one form or another had authority over the other. That's where the confusion lied. Now, have you ever heard of the 29 Palms questionnaire?
No, I have not. No.
Okay.
No, we haven't.
This will help you understand what's going on. You see, back in the days of our co-presidents, Bill and Hillary Clinton, questionnaire was given out to Navy personnel. Now, the whole of it is actually a psychological profile, yet they were just saying it's a simple questionnaire. It was not. I believe it was the 40th question, the last question. Now, they proposed the following scenario. The United States government has issued a ban on certain semi-automatic weapons. Everyone is given a 30-day amnesty period to turn in these weapons. Excuse me. However, at the end of those 30 days, certain groups, basically malicious patriots or anyone like that, have refused to turn in their weapons. And here's the question. Would you, as a United States soldier, open fire on a United States citizen?
If I was a soldier, no. You know?
Well,
wow. Okay.
We were most fortunate that the vast majority said no, they would not. And here's where it gets interesting. As soon as Clinton found out that the vast majority of our own fighting servicemen and servicewomen would not open fire on their own people, he sent a little bit more than half of our standing army overseas. He closed down and demilitarized half of our standing bases, while at the same time inviting NATO forces, UN forces, Chinese, Russian, and certain other forces to be trained at these same demilitarized bases using our own military tactics. You see, just because our own people won't open fire on our own citizens doesn't mean another nation won't do it. That's why we're in the problem now. Those bases, and I'm up to a little bit more than 800 known concentration camps sitting on American territory right now.
We define concentration camps. I mean, are we talking like FEMA camps? Is that what you're referring to?
POW camps. Prisoner of war. The one in front of the sign in front of the POW camp in New Jersey. It's an army base. It right there. The sign purely says POW camp. I don't think it's going to get any plainer than that. Now my possession, the bidder's contracts on those concentration camps. I've got photographic evidence. I've got whatever it takes for anyone who doubts this is going on to turn them into an instant believer. Because the fact of the matter is, all the evidence, I've got documentation from the U.S. Senate and other places that verified not only are these concentration camps, POW camps, please, are in existence, but they're fully operative, and when I say fully operative, I mean armed, loaded. They've got everything you could possibly expect of a fully operative POW camp. And there's a little bit more than 800 of them right now on American territory. And if the government ever decided, let's say, to use the gun regulation or take them completely away from American citizens as an excuse, you know, where do you think they're going to be putting all those troublemakers?
Oh, well, yeah, I think we know the answer to that.
Yeah,
obviously,
quite obvious.
Can.
This
right.
has been going on a lot longer than most people realize. There's been a lot of wheeling and dealing to get it to this point. Now that they've got everything in place, they're just going to try to come up with the excuses now. And look at how the pattern's been forming again. It's not a regular citizen who has any type of normal background. So far, these last shootings, someone has been taking medication and been going on and shooting people. This is the pattern. Well, as I said, one of the most immediate things I want everyone to keep an eye out for is for a financial crash between 2013 and 2018. Now, it's going to happen to some nation around the world. Which one the Illuminati is going to choose, I don't know, because back then, when I saw the timeline, there was no designated nation at the time. But then again, there doesn't have to be, because as it is right now, there's only three or four nations left that the Illuminati, through the Rothschilds, who are the head of the Order of the Illuminati to this very day, that doesn't have one of their central banking systems in it. And check, anyone who wants to, go through the history books, look at various nations throughout the world that was involved in any type of major world war. And a lot of them, quite a vast number of them, did not have the money to support any type of confrontation, let alone get involved in any sort of long, drawn-out war. But yet, somehow they got the money. Well, they got the money through a central bank that was located within their nation. And trace that central bank, and I guarantee you, it'll go all the way back to the Rothschilds themselves. And there's been a number of times in history that certain nations owed the Illuminati through the Rothschild so much money that at any time, legally, the Rothschilds could have foreclosed on the entire nation. And so because they have that type of financial control, they can determine which nation they want to, between 2013 and 2018, to use as the example to force every nation in the world to try to sit down and come up with a one global currency. Now, this is not going to be a paper currency, mind you. You see, any time anyone has tried to block the Federal Reserve System, literally speaking, they've been murdered. Abraham Lincoln tried to block the the Federal Reserve System from coming in. They executed him. One of the more recent ones would have been John F. Kennedy. He was going to completely spill the beans on who was really running the government, and that his intentions was to get rid of them and to put us back on gold and silver. Well, they got rid of him. Anyone who tries to stop their central banking system is destroyed. You see, it was in 1838, Meyer Amschel Bauer, who was the head of the Rothschild family at the time, he stated, "Allow me to issue and control the money of a nation, and I care not who writes its laws." And he was right. Whoever pulls the purse strings makes the rules. So this is why I'm warning everyone, you've got to keep an eye for an up-and-coming financial crash. Secondly, keep your eye towards Iraq and Israel especially. Right now, the wars that's going on within that area falls under what's known as Supernation Number 7. I have a very old Illuminati map in my possession that was drawn up before the conclusion of World War II. The map itself divided the world into 9 regions. However, once the Illuminati created, which group was it? It wasn't the Council of Foreign Relations. I'm thinking of another group.
Trilateral Commission, Bilderberg Club.
The Council of Rome. Club of Rome.
Right.
Yeah, because there were 6 major front organizations the Illuminati created to perpetuate their plans for the New World Order. And, yeah, the Club of Rome is one of them, the Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, the United Nations, the Bilderbergers, and the Royal Institute of International Affairs. All 6 are front organizations for the Illuminati to perpetuate their plans for the New World Order. And it was the Club of Rome, once it had been created, looked at that map, and they altered it a little. So instead of 9 supernations, the Illuminati now are setting up a world that has 10 supernations. And it's very interesting that that's exactly what the Book of Revelation, chapter 13, points out. We're going to end up with 10 kingdoms.
Yeah, and
right
that
now,
also represents the 10 toes in the statue of Nebuchadnezzar's dream.
Yes, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, exactly. And so what you're seeing right now is the formation of supernation number 7. That's why everything is going on there right now. And once they're done with that, they're going to move on to one of their other supernations. Which one it is right now, I don't know. Because it's really up to them to decide which part of the world is going to become supernation number 8. But they've got to create all 10 of them.
Wow. And that fits with a global economic collapse, doesn't it? Where they could perhaps, I mean, could these be trade zones, if you will? I mean, I'm asking.
Well, think about that for a second. If you don't have, and let's say for a second, let's say at first they issue, let's say, some sort of smart card, okay? Well, eventually, they're going to have to create something that is not easily accessible and that cannot be stolen. The only thing that fits this description is the bioelectrical implant chip, or what some people refer to as the RFID chip.
Yes.
Now, I've got the biological implant chips in my possession. Any one of those chips can hold up to 1,400 pages worth of information on any person. That includes your entire background, your medical background, your financial background, your educational background. Name it, it'll be on it. Among other things, it can be tracked by satellite to within 6 inches of where you're standing. In other words, a satellite floating 20 miles overhead can track you to within 6 inches. So don't think you're going to get away from Big Brother. It's not going to happen if you've got that chip. And that chip is also going to act as your bank account, because you're not going to get dollar bills or any type of paper currency, and you're certainly not going to get gold or silver. You're going to get debit points, X amount of computer points that will allow you to buy and sell. Now, here's the flip side of it. If you don't take that chip, you have surrendered your ability to buy or sell anything. And literally speaking, at that point, they've got you. Because think about this. Let's say you don't have a bioelectrical implant chip. One of your children gets injured. I mean, an injury that will take his life if he doesn't get help soon. And you go into the emergency room. Well, they say, sorry, we can't help your child because you don't have a chip. How many parents are not going to take a chip to spare their child's life?
And that is the underlining agenda, because they know that an unarmed population is a vulnerable population. We went through a history of...
It happened in Nazi Germany. That's how they did it.
Yeah.
They took away the guns first, and after that, no one could stand up against anyone in the Gestapo or any other of the agencies within Nazi Germany.
Yeah, and I just want to add this. It's just starting with this Connecticut shooting. They will continue to censor, like you said, they're picking up keywords, key people that are putting out information, and the censorship will just get worse as time goes on, as they continue to try to cover up what they are doing. We're going to move on to a call.
This is not going to be the last incident. It is not going to be. Not because of, you know, we've got rampant chaos going on in the streets. No. But because they're going to push us and push us and keep pushing us until the camel back has broken. But it's interesting to note that here we have yet again another kid who was on medication. Now, I'm very familiar with the various drugs that they've been giving these kids, and I can tell you right now, a number of them not only will cause hallucinogenics, hallucinations to appear to these kids, but they can also create psychotic episodes. And when I study the pattern, once again, here we have another kid who, under any normal circumstance, by friends and family, had been considered to be docile. But the medication, again, comes into the equation. And once again, what's the banner being flown right now? We got to get rid of all the guns. Well, isn't this exactly the same sort of banner that was flown as Hitler was assuming power in Nazi Germany? Well, we've got to get rid of all the guns, you know. And as soon as they did that, there was an immediate dictatorship. You see,
yeah, we
the biggest problem, yeah. and now mind you, I was watching Piers Morgan tonight the other day because I'm saying to myself, this has got to be good. And sure enough, he was one of those people touting for, you know, well, there's 250 million guns in America. We've got to get rid of them all because in Great Britain, no one has any weapons and there's only been 25 murders. Well, guess what, Piers? In Switzerland, the law, the government themselves give their own people when they turn 18 a gun, and globally speaking, they have the lowest level of crime, period. And the reason why they have the lowest level of crime is because everyone's armed. That means if people have weapons to protect themselves, you're going to think twice about, you know, just trying to shoot them or take their property. Now, if people don't have weapons to protect themselves, they're sitting ducks.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, they are. And this is the goal.
But getting back to what we say, there's a pattern that's being formed here. We have, you know, an individual or individuals who have some type of mental health problem. They have they've been given very specific drugs that I know, because of my medical background, will cause hallucination or psychosis, which means they're going to go out with these weapons that they will acquire that they that they themselves, more often than not, have been getting from friends or relatives and then going on these killing sprees. The problem is not the weapon. It's the people. And the people that's been doing these things, as I said, are people with known medical backgrounds as far as, you know, mental health problems go. So this is just, as I see it, just another ploy to try to strip us of all our weapons. Because the truth of the matter is, if the government just tries to take away our weapons like that, you're going to see a civil war. That's what's going to happen. Americans and Americana is based upon our individual rights and freedoms to protect our family, our friends, our loved ones, our property. And this is also a God-given right. And yet, we have people out there who are looking at the issue right now with their emotions rather with their intelligence. If you look at this with your emotions, yes, you're going to follow the banner. Oh, you know, we've got to stop all this from happening. Well, guess what? Medically speaking, you're treating the symptoms and not the cause. Get to the root cause of the problem, and everything else will fall in place. With the Project Monarch, yes, it started off as something small, but it's grown terribly and almost out of control. And we have to understand, people, that at one point this entered into the direct control of the United States military under the PSYOPS division. And the head of the PSYOPS division at one point was Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino, who created and started the Temple of Set, which is an offshoot of Anton Zana LaVey's The First Church of Satan. So, yes, there is major occult ties in it, but it's all under the umbrella of the Illuminati now.